Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice one more time and just, oh, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We praise your name. How many know he's worthy of it all, right? Worthy of everything. All the praise, all the glory, all the honor. God's got a word for you today. You ready? You ready? Yeah. All right, all right, all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe just kind of turn your palms upward and say, Lord, let me hear you today. Let me hear you today. Let me hear you today. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to your church. Give us hearts to receive it and give us the courage to act upon it. And God, we will give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' wonderful, mighty, miraculous name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five next to you as you're seated. You ever have somebody promise something and they didn't do it? A couple of us. Somebody be unfaithful to you, somebody not show up in your life. Boy, it just stinks, doesn't it? How about you, though? Has there ever been a time when you were unfaithful? Galatians is where we've been for the last several weeks. This is number 7. We've got 2 more. I was talking to somebody yesterday about the one that's coming in 2 weeks. They said, ooh, I need that one. It's self-control, okay? Self-control. There might be a couple more people that need that one. But today, we want to talk about faithfulness and set this up in Galatians chapter 5. We find that Paul is getting ready to give us a list of some things that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can build in our lives. But to get there, here's what he says. And so I just want to review this verse with you today. Galatians 5:16, Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He says to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, to do what God wants you to do, to be what God wants you to be, you're going to need the help. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. And let me just help somebody today that maybe is dealing with maybe a habit or something you just seemingly can't kick, that just won't let go of your life. Every year it's like your annual resolution that you won't do that anymore, you'll change, you'll whatever, and all. Maybe it's that kind of thing. Well, I just want to say today that if you'll walk by the Spirit, you won't do those other things. But see, that's the challenge, isn't it? Walking by the Spirit. Because many churches, it's about a list. You know, did you grow up with a list? Your church had a list, you know? Whatever denomination, flavor, or whatever of church that you grew up with, maybe they had a list. Just yell out what you're... No, don't yell it out. So we won't do that. But, you know, it seems like there's a lot of lists out there of what you shouldn't do, or if you're going to be a part of us, if you're going to be a part of this group, here's kind of the thing. And Paul does give some lists, but as we're going to learn today, really it's not about the list, it's about love. It's about love. And Galatians is talking about law or grace. You know, we're either going to have this list and we got to do this and we got to be good and whatever. But Paul says, no, if you get over here in grace, if you get over here in the love of God, and we're going to read about the faithfulness of God today, you won't want to do that stuff. You won't want to do those things anymore. Your habits will change. But if you don't do this, Paul says, and he gives a list, and we're not going to read this list again, but you can read it on your own again. He gives all this stuff that will break out in your life. And really what he's saying is, if you don't just really allow the Holy Spirit in your life, then what you'll wind up doing is bringing a bunch of hell up in your life. How many have been there before? Right? You just bring a lot of hell will just come up in your life. So I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful God warns us with some lists in the Bible of this could be what would happen in your life. If you don't follow me, some hell can break out in your life. And he warns us about these things that could happen, that could break out in our lives. And isn't that what you do as a parent? You know, if you're a parent, you say, hey, don't touch that stove. You know, or don't step off the curb. You need to stay here. You have lists, right? And why do you have lists? You have lists because you love. Because you know there's consequences to bad choices. There's consequences to bad decisions. And so therefore, you know, hey, I'm going to warn you. And what God does is God says, hey, you can choose death or you can choose life. But I wish you'd choose life. I wish you'd make a choice of living in the Spirit. So better than a to-do list, how many have to-do lists, right? Got to-do list. Better than a to-do list, we need a to-be list. To be these things. This is what being a Christian looks like, or Christ-like. The character traits that we should have. And so this list, and I don't know if you found this already, but I talked to somebody, they said, every week I think, that's the fruit I need. They said, every week, I'm like, yeah, I need that one. And so maybe what you're saying after now will be 7 weeks, I need this, but I just can't do it. And you know what? You can't do it on your own. That's the reason why it's called a fruit of the Spirit. It's produced through you, not by you. So as the Holy Spirit takes over, and last week we talked about submission. We submit to the Holy Spirit, and then he begins to work these fruits in our life. So let's get back to our list of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here's where we've been. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. How many? We need this. We need more of this in our world. Goodness. And today, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We need this in our world today. And so Paul, in another writing that he wrote, similar to this, what's called Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. I've talked to people before that say something like this, like, I hope I'm pleasing to the Lord. I hope I'm pleasing to the Lord. Do you know you can know if you're pleasing to the Lord? You don't have to hope. Here's what Paul says. You live a life worthy of the Lord. Please him in every way. Here's how to do it. Two things. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. He says, you want to please the Lord? Then bear fruit. Let these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit come through you and be growing, taking next steps, moving forward in your life. So really, it's not so much about a list as it's a byproduct of being in love with Jesus. Just being in love with Jesus and loving him, and this fruit shows up. And I'm telling you, nothing says to an unbelieving world that this is real more than you displaying the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That is just a powerful thing. And really what it is you're just reflecting who God is. Because he is faithful. Matter of fact, Lamentations says it like this, and we sang these words almost verbatim earlier. Lamentations 3:22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. How many are glad for the Lord's great love, right? For his compassions never fail. And get this, they are new every morning. How many are glad that today when you got up, the Lord had new mercy for you, right? It wasn't yesterday's mercy, it's new mercy. Because you needed some new mercy in your life. And it says, great is your faithfulness. See, God remains faithful even when you're not. He's always faithful. So what is faithfulness? Let me define it for you. I think it's being true, solid, steady, a promise keeper, not just a promise maker, to be trustworthy in public and in private, to be reliable in your commitments, to be dependable. In other words, people aren't surprised when you show up. If you said you'd be there, they know you're going to be there. You're loyal and constant. You're not up and down, in and out. And Jesus talked about this in a powerful way. When he talked about how it would be as we approach the throne of God, he told a story. And many of you know this story. It's a story about this master who gave out talents, or in some instances, it's translated like money. And he gave these talents, abilities, or money out to these servants. Remember that? And he gave one so many, and he gave another one so many, and he gave another one so many. And then he came back and checked up to see, did you grow it? Right? Were you faithful with it? Did you grow it? Did you bear fruit from what I gave to you? And here's what it says in Matthew 25:21. Jesus says this. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Jesus said the master is happy that he's pleased when the servant has been faithful with what he has. See, this is what God is going to reward one day in heaven, is faithfulness. Now, we live in a culture that celebrates flash and fame. Instant success. This person, you know, became a success overnight. And we're just, it's amazing. It's awesome. Yeah. And there's some of us that like, oh, I hope this tweet goes viral. You know, I hope this Instagram post, I hope, you know, it just gets shared all over the world. You know, I'd love to, you know, be on the Today Show or something like that because it's just so amazing. But in a world that celebrates flash and fame, God celebrates faithfulness. When we stand before him, that's what he's going to celebrate with us. And the kingdom principle that Jesus taught here is faithful now and blessings later. You stay faith in the grind. You know, you stay faithful. This is so countercultural, you know, because this isn't the way our culture operates. And so when it gets difficult and you stay faithful, here's who it brings glory to: God. Because you wouldn't be able to do that on your own. You know, it's like when you ask kids, you know, one of the biggest questions people ask kids is, what do you want to do or be when you grow up? What do you want to be? And really, the question, what do you want to be when you grow up, is not what most people are asking. That's not the real question. The real question is, what do you want to do when you grow up? Because the answers usually are, well, I want to be a dentist, or I want to be a doctor. I want to be president of the United States. Come on, somebody, right? Remember that? And then you're like, no way. You know, don't need that. But really, it should be different. It should be, what do we want to be as a person? Well, I want to be honest. I want to be a person of character. I want to have all these things. But we typically are asking, what do you want to do? And I remember how my answer changed over the years. Anybody with me on that? Like, I had an answer at 5, and then I had a different answer at 10 and 12 and 15. And then I remember when I felt God calling me into the ministry, and then when he confirmed it in a supernatural way, then my answer was, I want to be a pastor. And I got to thinking about that as I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking, what else drew me besides the power of God, you know, and some supernatural things that happened to kind of let me know that God was in this? What was it? And I thought, because I admired my pastor was one thing, because I only had one pastor my whole life. And many of you know he's 101 now. He's still alive, okay? And so I was thinking about that. I was thinking how, you know, he was just faithful. All those years, just faithful. And he's 101 years old. If something was going to come out about him, it probably already would have, right? That's what you got to watch. If you lived to be 101, you better have lived a pretty good life, because it could come out by now. And so sometimes we'll go to dinner and take him to dinner. And I love this opportunity that we've had over the last several years to do this kind of thing. And I'll ask him questions and all about stuff. And here's what's been amazing is he dealt with a lot of crap, okay? A lot of stuff, a lot of just junk and people. Come on, people, right? I mean, and the more people, the more problems and all, and the more challenges and everything. But here's the thing about him. I didn't know that. Every Sunday, he'd get up, do his thing. I didn't know he had all that week. I didn't know somebody cussed him out in his office. You know, I didn't know somebody stabbed him in the back. I didn't know somebody said this or did this or what. I didn't know any of that. All it looked like to me is he was just steady. And I want you to know the only reason you can do that is the supernatural strength of God, that no matter what's going on in my life, I will be faithful. I mean, do you know people like that? You know people like that? That you're like, oh, hey, you know, you just wouldn't believe my life and all, and you're telling them your story and you know, you're kind of making an excuse for why you're the mess up you are. Anybody ever do that? You know, the reason why, you know, I'd be better than this, but, you know, and so you're telling this, but then you stop and you hear their story. And then you're like embarrassed because their story tops your story. But yet they keep on smiling. Come on, somebody. They keep on following Jesus. They're not giving in to complaining and moaning and groaning and whatever else. Instead, they just keep on keeping on and keep on keeping on and keep on keeping on. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit brings in our lives. It comes by inviting the Holy Spirit to root you. Remember, the roots are what give the fruit. And so when we're rooted in him, here's what that does. We're just reflecting who God is. That faithfulness is just reflecting who God is. So whether you're on the job and it gets tough or whatever, or your school and life happens and different things, it just shows that. I'm telling you, it never shone out more than today. It reveals God to others because it's unnatural, it's supernatural. It's even to this limit, returning faithfulness for unfaithfulness. I mean, no, it takes the Holy Spirit to do that, because that's not what we want to do. So how, as a student, can you do that this school year? How can you do that as a mom, as a dad? How can you do that as a person in the community, as a boss, as an employee? How do we grow faithfulness in our lives? How do you foster faithfulness? Here's three things to write down. The first one is grow your relationship with Jesus. That's what you got to focus on. I just want to get closer to the Lord. Because here's what happens. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you start acting like Jesus. The more you start talking like Jesus. See, it's not about rule following and keeping a list in your pocket. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't do that, you know. No, you don't have to worry about that because it's just a byproduct of being in love with Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said it like this: you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. He says, what I want us to do, I want us to get so close that when you ask stuff, it won't be that dumb stuff you used to ask for. That I had to say, no, that's not good for you. Remember with your kids? You were so thankful when the light came on for them. And Jesus says, I want you to get so close to me that you know what to ask for. And when you ask, I'll be anxious to do it for you. I'll be anxious to make that happen in your life because of getting close to him. See, that's how it happens in marriage, right? Let me talk to all the single people for a moment. Be careful who you marry. You'll wind up becoming more like them. See, you need to be choosy. Because I know for Rochelle and I, in getting married, I was more of an introvert. She was more of an extrovert. And so what's happened over the years is there's days where she says, I can't believe you said that. Because years ago, I wouldn't have said that. But somehow, you know, I'm more vocal and say things and whatever at times. And there's times where she doesn't just say everything that's on her mind. Like maybe she used to could. And so we've come together. And it's better together. And so that's what happens with Jesus. See, the more you hang out with Jesus, this is the reason why over these next 21 days, don't let anything get in the way of these next 21 days. Get close to Jesus. Get close to him. Here's an opportunity. Tomorrow is 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. over these next 21 days. You can come Monday through Friday and be in the worship center. Soft music, worship music be playing. And you can come. You can kneel down here like I like to do. You can come and kneel before the Lord, before you go to work, go to school, whatever else. Or you can find somewhere else to kneel somewhere. Or you can just eat some carpet, you know, just get on your face before God and just say, oh, God, I need you. I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you. I need you in my marriage. I need you in my mind, I need you in my emotions, I need you in my family, I need you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. God, I need you in my life. And you just get before him day after day after day. How many think that might pay dividends, right? Might make a difference. And then on Wednesday nights, to come together. And just every Wednesday, we're going to have a different focus of corporate prayer. And this first one's so important as we just repent before God and just come clean before the Lord, because we want him to use us, right? We want him to flow through us. We want him to have an open flow of being able to move in our hearts, our lives, our church, our city, our community, all of it. And so we come before, and here's the thing, church, is about 20% of our church usually comes these nights of prayer. Would you blow me away on Wednesday night and just everybody come? Because we need him. Come on, somebody. We need him. We need him. We need him. And here's the other thing. Is people say, well, I need God to speak to me. And then you find out they're not even reading the Bible. I've said this before. When you open the Bible, God opens his mouth. You know, he'll speak to you. Listen, I have read this book cover to cover since I was a teenager, and I still get something new and fresh and powerful from it every time I open it up. And what he does for me, he'll do for you. And so if you're not reading the Bible every day, there's a 21 Days of Prayer Bible reading guide through the YouVersion Bible app. So if you don't already have a system of Bible reading, do that one. Get started over these 21 days. If you're an overachiever, read the one you're reading now and read that one too, all right? Because God will speak to you. Here's the second thing is if you're going to get faithfulness in your life, I want you to know it grows around faithful people. It grows around faithful people. In other words, you can't hang around unfaithful people and be faithful. It's just uphill. It's so hard and difficult to do. That's the reason why we talk about life groups. Wasn't that a powerful video of people sharing their testimony of what life. Listen, when you come into a life group together and you share things, and or if you join a team and you get together, some of you just love serving on your team and getting together and connecting. It's impactful to our lives. We get around others. And if you're not in either one of those, you should be in growth track, because growth track will help you to find your way to get you connected so that this church, it's a big church, but it doesn't have to be. You can know some people know you and inspire you, because I don't know, sometimes in my life I need some inspiration. I need somebody that I can look to, somebody that can pray for me, somebody that can encourage me, and I want that for all of you. Look at Psalm 1, verse 3. That person that does these things, they're like a tree planted by the streams of water. See, look at the roots. Which yields its fruit then in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. How many want that for your life, right? And so it's all about getting rooted. So I may be struggling. The world may be falling apart. There may be all kinds of tensions and all kinds of challenges in my life. And I may not be perfect, but I'll tell you what, I am rooted. And I am rooted in the rock of ages. I'm rooted in the one who will be faithful yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not blowing over. It doesn't make any difference how much the wind picks up. I'm staying connected to the river. I'm allowing the fruit of the Holy Spirit to well up within me so that I can stay true. That's what you do. That's what you do. You need some people in your life that have been through some stuff and they walked out on the other side. You need to be planted and rooted so you can be faithful, so that you can be a witness for the Lord. Here's the next thing, is not only does it grow in small groups and around faithful people, but it also grows in small moments. It grows in small moments. Luke 16, verse 10, here's what Jesus said. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little will also be dishonest in much. Isn't that true? Because if this person will lie to me about something that doesn't even matter, I'm not going to trust them with anything. Come on. Hello? Right? But here's how this kind of plays out in some of our lives. It's, I'm telling you, one day I'm going to be generous. One day I'm going to be generous. When I've got money, I'm going to be generous. No, you've got some money now, and you're stingy now. Why would you be more generous later? No, I want to serve. I'd love to serve, but I'm busy. Hey, you know what? Some of the most serving people in this church are some of the busiest people in this church. You make time for what's important. You know, I'm gonna do that one day. No. It's the small stuff. It's the small moments that get us ready for the big moments. As a matter of fact, I think one of the reasons why God has used this church so significantly in this community, why there are hundreds of people that come to this church and the ripples of this church go all across this county, one of the reasons for that is because Rochelle and I pastored a church. We started a church before this one up by Chicago, and we pastored 8 people. And then it was 12. And then it was 15. And oh, I remember when we had 25. And then we had 50 people. Wow. And then we had 50 people. And then we had 50 people. And then we kept having 50 people. And I remember going to ministry meetings in our fellowship and people saying, "Are you still there? Wow. You're still there?" And here's what we did. We just felt like we got to stay planted at this point. We didn't feel released from it. And I feel like because we stayed faithful to the Lord, now the church there began to grow and all, and then God called us here. But I believe much of what's happened here, anything through me, is because of faithfulness back there. Does that make sense? See, if you'll stay faithful, if you'll just stay consistency beats charisma every day. Longevity beats hype. Commitment beats convenience. See, you need to look for ways that you can be excellent in small moments. The small moments. In other words, here, let me get practical. When the meeting's at 11, you're there at 10:55. Is that too close for somebody? All right. You're on time. You stay late when other people leave. When it comes cleanup time, you don't clean out. You say, "Hey, we'll stay here until it's done." You're full of integrity all the time. In other words, if someone starts flirting at work, you don't flirt back. You get a new job if it takes that. You do whatever it takes to stay faithful. And here's the thing, is keep in mind, God is watching for who he can promote. He says, if you're faithful with the small stuff, I'm going to put you in charge over big stuff. If you'll be faithful where you are, if you just keep showing up, if you just keep praying, if you just keep trusting, if you just keep plodding along, what is the Lord? Let me ask you this. What is the Lord asking of you today to be faithful in? What's he asking for you to be faithful about? Or let me ask it this way. What's he already asked and you're not doing it? Is there something there? Maybe it was to go witness to that person. Maybe it was to offer to pray for somebody. Or maybe to give to a cause. Maybe to give direct to a person. May we get more bold in little things, because he that's faithful in little will be faithful in much. And I'll tell you more than any of that, he's been so faithful to me. How can I not be faithful to him, right? How many he's been faithful, right? So today, whatever it is that God's calling you to do, would you just be faithful even in the small things? Would you show faithfulness so that this country and this county and this community can see what living in the Spirit looks like? What it feels like? And more than anything else, to give pleasure and glory to God. Let's pray. Father, help us today to be faithful more than ever before. God, if you're calling us to do something, maybe it's to witness to somebody, maybe it's to teach in the kids department. Maybe it's to be involved in student ministry. Maybe it's to be involved in greeting. Lord, if you're asking us to give more or whatever it is, God, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful with what you've already given. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I want to be faithful. I want to demonstrate to this county, this community, to our nation, that faithfulness of God looks like this. And for that to happen, I need the Spirit of God's help. But today, I am committing myself all over again to be faithful to God. If that's your prayer, would you just raise a hand, church, all over this room? Yeah, just raise it up. I'm going to be faithful to you, God. If I live to be 101, I'll still be faithful to you. It doesn't make a difference who stops following, who stops whatever. I'm going to keep on being faithful to you. Father, would you help us today to put this into practice, so that a lost and dying world can see the faithfulness of God in our lives? May we be the kind of people that other people can count on. May we be the kind of people that when we say something, we will do it. May we be the kind of people that have a stick-to-itiveness because we have a God that is like that. And we thank you for the Spirit's help today. Others of you, I want you to know that there is a God that is faithful when you're not. And if you're here today and maybe you have not been faithful, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you sang all the kids' songs, maybe you knew all the memory verses, maybe you did all that stuff and whatever, but something happened and you've been on a bumpy ride. And your relationship with God is anything but close. I want to invite you today to get close to God. You'll find that He's ready to get close to you. He's ready to do works of faithfulness in your life and to prove Himself faithful, to forgive you, wash you, cleanse you, and give you a brand new start today. And if you need a brand new start with God here today, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Just raise it up. Say, yeah, that's me. I need a new start. I need a new start with God. I need His cleansing today. And online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer. Nobody prays alone. Just pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through His death, He paid for my sin so I can be forgiven. And I plead with you to be faithful and wash away my past. Give me a new start, a new beginning. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's welcome those who prayed that prayer. Yeah. Listen, on the screens, there are next steps that you can take. You can just text those from wherever. And take a next step. It's important to just stay faithful, to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And we want to help you to do that, to stay faithful to the Lord. Also, on your communication or connection card, there's two boxes there. One is, I committed my life to Christ, and maybe you did that for the very first time. We want to celebrate that with you and help you. Or you renewed your commitment to the Lord today. We want to celebrate that as well. So help us to help you by checking those boxes, and then you can put the cards where they need to go at the end of the service. Also, across the hall, there's a Next Steps room. You can go talk to one of our elders. They'd be glad to tell you how to get connected in a life group. They'd be glad to tell you about baptism or whatever else to help you, again, take your next step. Right now, here's what I'd like to do. And we did this in the first service, so I'll just kind of put this out there for those who are challenged by challenges. I asked the first service to do something for me, and that is we're going to sing a song, and I want you to respond to it. And I know you're busy and you got a lot of stuff, and I know there's hot dogs that you need to buy out in the lobby for the student ministry and the kids ministry's got stuff out there. And even if you don't like hot dogs, buy a bunch of them anyway, okay? And just donate, because it goes to missions, all right? They do this once a year, and today's the day. But here's what I want to do. I want to sing this song. This is one of my favorite songs. It's emotional to me. And here's why. It's because God has been and is so faithful to me. That's my testimony. God is faithful. God is faithful. And here's the thing, just to kind of illustrate it. When Rochelle and I got married, I stood down at the altar of the church, and she walked down the aisle of the church, and then we made covenant promises, commitments to each other. It would have been a problem if she hadn't walked down the aisle. How many know what I'm talking about, right? That would have been a problem. But she did. She walked down the aisle, met me at the altar, and we made covenant commitment to each other to be faithful to each other. The Bible talks about how we are the bride of Christ. So here's what I'd like, bride. I'd like for you to respond to the Lord today and come to the altar. And I know maybe you didn't grow up in this kind of tradition or whatever, but shake that off today and just come to the altar and make a covenant commitment to God. I want to be faithful. I will be faithful. When it's good or when it's bad. If you heal me or you don't heal me. If you do that thing I want you to do or you don't do it. You've already done enough for me already for me to praise you the rest of my life. Do you feel that way? That's how I feel. And so today, what I'd like for us to do is just meet God at the altar and make a commitment to him before we leave today. Will you do that? Come on, they're going to sing this powerful song. Stand to your feet, go ahead, get it going. And let's sing this incredible lyrics to this song about the faithfulness of our God.